Ponderings over tea
with Mary Phyllis
and Annalie.
Good afternoon, Annalie.
How are you, Mary Phyllis?
Good.
Sounds good. So am I. We were going to talk about spirituality and religion today.
Yes.
To sort of clarify how we're looking at that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they tend to go into each other, but also be a bit separate.
Yes.
What is religion to you, Mary Phyllis?
Religion to me is the established religions.
Yes.
Like Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, Hindu, all these different ones, Islam. And I think sometimes it bothers me when everybody is so capsulized within a specific religion that they don't allow for other faiths come in.
Right.
And or they are so rigid that they don't allow the spirit of their religion to come through.
Right. What is the spirit of the religion? What is that?
It's like in some Christianity where somebody will actually express hatred. Like, for instance, it's where somebody will act out of hate
right
for someone else. And yet their religion is talking a lot about love.
Right.
So why are they not talking of the love?
So the spirit of the religion is really the actions that you take based on your religious beliefs.
Yes.
So the spirit is sort of how you live your religion.
Yes. And I think that's a spirituality where you put your spirit and you focus on God or whoever the icon is for your religion, and you bring that through and you live it with people.
Right.
You act it. You're proactive towards people,
right,
I think.
So, because in a way, religion is trying to create a relationship with God.
Yes.
Right? That's every religion's sort of number one goal or number one motivation.
Mm-hmm.
And still, maybe this doesn't always come through, right?
Yeah.
In the religion, because the religions have set up a sort of an understanding of our relationship with God, what that is, and written it down in these different books. And this has taken over from the actual spirituality that is, in fact, still alive or living, right? So there is a sort of a disconnection there.
There is. And I think this is why there have been people who have gone away from the religion they were brought up in,
right,
or religion that they got involved in adulthood, and finally just say, I'm out of this.
Right.
And I'm seeing it in some places where people say, I am spiritual, but I'm not religious.
Right. I've heard that many times.
Yeah.
And it seems like in the religions, there is not room for spirit anymore in that sense.
Yeah, if that's the case, the particular church or synagogue or whatever it was,
right,
there's no room for it.
Right. Because inevitably, a living spirituality lives within each individual that comes to the church.
Yes.
It doesn't live outside of ourselves, right?
Right.
So what there is sort of that disconnection that the religion creates a set of thoughts, a set of beliefs that is a way to understand our relationship with God. But in the end, ultimately, it's always the individual that harbors the spirituality.
Yes.
That is, I mean, a religion without congregants that actually are spiritual is not a religion at all, in a way. I mean, the people of the different churches, those are the ones who harbor the spirituality, isn't it so?
Yes.
You see where I'm trying to get at? That it's not in the scriptures of the different religions. That's not where God lives. God lives through us, right?
Yes, and it's always up to date.
Yeah.
Whereas the scriptures may be 100 to 1,000 years or more ago.
Right.
And it's a matter, can we bring that into the present and live it in our lives now?
Right, right.
When I went to metaphysical studies, we studied the six major world religions. And each one I read, I thought, oh, this is so beautiful. This is so beautiful.
Right.
And some friends would say, yeah, but, you know, people don't always live what's in their religion.
Right.
But I think it's a template to help us.
Yes.
Keep us, I need to focus on this. I forgot this part of it.
Right.
And I need to focus on it. And in thinking that way and focusing that way, we're bringing the spiritual into that religion. We're making it alive.
That's beautiful. Isn't it so that, you know, the written, the templates, as you said, that they sometimes sort of make the spirituality smaller.
Yes, where they may focus on one part of the scriptures of their particular religion to the exclusion of other things.
Right.
Not realizing this is showing how somebody was growing through a certain situation and they evolved into something else.
Right.
Or maybe there was another prophet or somebody came along that added to it.
Mm-hmm.
They make themselves myopic.
Right.
And
then it makes everybody else to try to do it exactly the same way.
Yes.
But it doesn't work that way, does it?
No.
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 So the templates of the religious scriptures should be supporting our spiritual evolution.
Yeah.
And supporting us to actually live spirit.
Yes. It reminds me, and I'm not off subject, but it reminds me when I was teaching choral music. It was one year I had two mixed choruses back to back. I had the same music for both.
Right.
And what it worked for the first one was just astounding. I even tried it for the second one. It didn't work at all.
Wow.
And I had to focus on something different.
Right.
And that worked for them. And if that worked, I tried it the next day for the first one. Didn't work at all.
Right.
You know, it was the same music, the same voicing.
Yeah.
But they needed something different.
Yeah.
And I've heard that same thing in hearing a certain speech that someone gives. And someone said, wasn't that wonderful right there? And I thought, what was that? I don't remember that. But wasn't this wonderful? And they said the opposite thing. We pick up what we need to.
Yes.
And that's where the diversity within a particular religion is so helpful. And diversity among different religions seems like it would be doing the same thing.
So what is religion then, religions afraid of? Is it that the template will be sort of messed up and transformed to something else, or?
I'm wondering if it isn't more the people within the religion who are afraid.
Yeah.
And they're not looking at a certain part of that religion that they haven't looked at before, and it frightens them because they know that they're not there yet.
Right. That could be it, that they can't relate to it, really.
Yeah.
But in a way, I also think that some religions worry that their message will be garbled if somebody tries to, you know, interpret it in a different way or say, well, it really means this or it really means that. Mm-hmm. That people are afraid of really how words can have a lot of meanings.
Yeah.
And words sort of bring us to another place than was intended. So by that I mean that the ones who are sort of protecting the religious word are worried that somebody will kidnap it and give it another meaning and start interpreting the scripture in a variety of ways, which maybe would take away the what is perceived as the original meaning.
Yes, I can think of some people who have done that. They don't realize that what we give away, we make stronger within ourselves, stronger within society in some way.
Right. If we let it go, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't change how we feel about it.
Right.
I'm thinking of the older religions. Some of the older religions have taken on a perennial black eye, so to speak, as being evil.
Right.
And yet when people describe what the true spirit within that religion is about, that's as beautiful as the others.
Right.
But people get caught up in a particular word, particular name to that particular religion.
Yes. In a way, it's like in all of life, that when you start trying to pin down things and decide what they are and what they're not, that sort of takes away some of the truth, really.
Yeah, I've heard it said that God said, "I am that I am." When somebody asked him, "What's your name?" he says, "I am that I am."
Right.
And never said anything else. And then I thought, whatever we put after those two words, "I am," makes us very defined.
Yes.
And the more we try to define God, the more we limit God and we don't really understand.
Right. And that can in turn become evil or be used with evil intentions, right? Because we say that this is not the truth or this is not what originally was said, or even as you said, that some people in religion actually hate, even if their religion tells them to love.
Yeah.
And this happens when our minds are closed for the living spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we let the scripture go ahead of the living spirit within the people themselves.
Yes. Yeah.
Also, we were thinking about, when we talked beforehand a little about this topic, that spirituality is a word that provokes some people also.
Yes, my uncle was that, and he was a minister. And when I talked with him about it, he says, and I didn't understand what he meant. He felt religion was putting the spirit within it, but spirituality was not. And I got to thinking, he was over the time period close to where there was what a movement called spiritualism.
Right.
Where people would get around a table and have seances and ghosts.
Yeah.
And then that sort of thing come through. And that isn't, as our listeners are probably gathering by now, that's not anywhere close to what we're thinking of.
Right.
But it is another case where a word can distort things in somebody's mind because of their own experience.
Right. And spiritualism is really not something evil either. I mean, for me, spiritualism versus spirituality, spiritualism is just when people suddenly became more spiritual.
Yes.
And they were aware of new energies and new things around them that were not seen really out of our typical physical world.
Mm-hmm.
But of the spiritual world.
Yes.
In a way. Because, I mean, what they did in these seances was to sort of connect with the spiritual world in a way, right?
Mm-hmm.
They would connect with something that we couldn't see with our eyes, but was perceived with other senses.
Yes.
This is really the start of becoming more spiritually open, right?
Yes, that I think so.
There are things going on that we have to use our other senses to be able to perceive.
Yes.
And when they did this, they would eventually, you know, connect maybe to deceased family members or even ghosts, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is really, if they exist, do you think? As ghost is also a provocative word, right?
Yes, it is.
But, you know, sometimes we speak about earthbound spirits.
Yes.
Or energies that sort of linger around from people that have deceased.
Yes.
And whether you believe in that or not, some people believe that they actually could connect to those energies around them.
Yes.
And that is the spiritualist movement.
Yes.
Whereas spirituality
is a whole different thing.
Is absolutely different thing.
Yes. Yeah.
It's something that, that can be found in a religion,
mm-hmm.
or in a person who is not religious,
mm-hmm.
right? We can find it in some modern philosophies.
Yes.
We can find it, you know, in people being very caring about animals today, like,
yes.
you know, the different societies that take care of abandoned animals.
Mm-hmm.
That's also a type of spirituality, right?
Yes, it's a caring, I think it's a caring for spirit wherever it is. And Native Americans often say there's spirit in everything.
Right.
There's even spirit in the plants and rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Like a sacred rock.
Right.
Someplace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you go out in nature and you come to a place where you can almost feel, you know, there is
yes.
sort of a something living there that
mm-hmm.
is so beautiful that you sort of just take in and incorporate in your experience in nature that day.
Yes.
That's spirituality too.
Yeah.
So spirituality is exploring our selves in relationship to spirit, really, which is a part of everything around us.
Yeah.
So your uncle, do you think he's still, you know?
Well, he died a number of years ago.
Oh, okay. Well, then he should know
yeah.
by now.
It took me a while. I couldn't figure out what he was trying to say, and I kept explaining my viewpoint, and he explained his viewpoint, and
right, so why is it then that religion sort of contradicts spirituality? Where is that disconnection? We started talking about it now, but if we should sort of conclude what it is. Because he, if we try to see it from his perspective,
yeah.
he wanted to assure everybody, he was a minister in his congregation,
yeah.
that they were able to live with spirit,
mm-hmm.
also in the church, as when they
yeah.
gather in the churches, but also right in their everyday life.
Yes. Yeah.
So for him, religion was a way to, what would you say?
I would say to keep people reminded of doing and being as close to what the religious principles are within their own
right.
group.
And try to live by them.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And that's really a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And yet, each person has their own way to God. Each person has their own way to what they need from that particular religion, what they find drawing.
Right. And this is what really, from my perspective, what this thing, spirituality and religion, is when Martin Luther, like 400 years ago,
yeah.
started questioning the Catholic Church,
mm-hmm.
Where he had this inner urge to actually connect to God himself and not through the minister or the priest or the Pope or any other person. He wanted to give everybody the right to connect to God within themselves.
Yes.
So for me, in our modern society, this is sort of the starting point of coming back to God.
Yes.
Within religion.
Yeah.
And to say it's okay to listen inwards and to actually believe that God is talking to us within ourselves.
Yes. Receiving an answer.
Yeah. That we actually are okay to do that.
Yeah.
And to really believe that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Which in a way connects to the old Native American view, where spirit is wherever I am walking.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. For everyone.
Yes.
Right? So
yes.
we can all explore spirit within ourselves wherever we are at this moment.
Yes.
So then religion had to take sort of a step back and actually incorporate the people into meeting with God within themselves.
Yes.
And this is really what we are coming back to all the time when we're talking on our ponderings, right? That we're listening inwards. We're silencing our minds that are sort of chattering all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We're listening through our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to connect to something that is outside of ourselves, but also a part of us, right?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, it's becoming aware of what's going on within oneself.
Right.
And honoring who we are as a soul.
Right.
And allowing that expression.
Right.
Whereas one person can be very buoyant and enthusiastic a lot of time, and people say she has a lot of spirit or he has a lot of spirit, and somebody else is very quiet. But they have a lot of spirit too.
Yeah.
They just express it a little differently.
Right. Just because we don't see it, it's not there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And one, just because we don't see it in one religion, but we see it in another, it's because we're being drawn to the one we're being drawn to.
Right.
And that's right for us.
Yeah.
And somebody else, a different religion, is the right way.
Right.
And that's fine.
Yeah. We should allow all the diverse religions
yes.
to express themselves
yes.
in their own way.
Yes.
And accept that it's a truth.
Yes.
Wherever it comes from.
And if somebody says, no specific religion is my way, or I embrace all religions because I'm spiritual, that's fine too.
Yeah. Or even, I mean, even those that say that God isn't, there is no God.
Yeah.
I mean, they can live spirit too.
Yeah.
Because spirit is sort of a part of us.
Yeah.
So we don't have to call it names and say it's God.
Right.
Either.
Right.
We just need to live our lives.
Yes.
In a way that allows us to be who we are, as you say,
yes.
this soul.
The best we can be.
Yeah.
And some people find that they can do that just without the religion.
Yeah.
And I think that's called humanism.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's fine too.
Yeah. So let's be open.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think that was a good pondering.
Yes. Yeah.
So until next time.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ponderings over tea.
With Mary Phyllis.
And Annelie.